Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk. News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Ian McGuinness, the CEO of Rogunstown Hotel and Country Club.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Now, Ian, it all started back in 1964. Your dad tragically died when you were young, and you and your brother lived in Rush in your early days, and your mother went back to work to support the family. So, humble beginnings, let's call them.
Absolutely. My mother, she's a bit of an icon. She had to leave the civil service when my father died. I was only one. She was only married a couple of years, but as the rules were, she had to leave. And she went into married life when my father died, she was able to go back to her old job. And she was looking after two small kids. I was one, my brother was 3 months old.
Wow, that's kind of been tough.
It was tough, but there was no holding her down. So yeah. She's a bit of a hero of mine, I suppose you hear.
Isn't that great? She found love again, and you moved, I think, to what's now Rogunstown, owned by your stepdad, is that right?
Yes, absolutely. She found love again, and she married Joe when I was about 11, and we moved to Rogunstown. Rogunstown was actually his family farm. It was a dairy farm with 350 acres, bought by his father in 1916. I have the cheque on the wall at home. It's £9,000 for...
No way, how many acres? 350
acres and 1820s.
For nine grand
in 1916, well, yes.
Well... I know you would have helped out on the farm and all that, so that must have been a big change for you in terms of lifestyle. I know it's in County Dublin, but this was a rural area.
Oh yes, we're from farming background. My father was a farmer, so when my father died, my mother actually to supplement her income, she used to grow lettuce in the glasshouse we had at the house. So
yeah.
From 7 or 8, I was helping her plant lettuce and harvest it and send it into
so
Dublin market.
No stranger to it.
No, absolutely not.
Off to Trinity again. I think you studied maths and electronic engineering. So
yes.
There was no thought, certainly, have been a hotelier, I'd suggest.
No.
On this journey.
Definitely not. I knew I didn't want to be a farmer. My mother was very focused on education for all of us, so I did take a stint at being an accountant for a summer and decided, well, I can always go back to that. And I was kind of good with engines and I liked kind of mechanical things, so I ended up in Trinity doing engineering.
Was your first graduate job out of Trinity with Siemens?
It was, absolutely.
Yeah, great company.
Oh, fantastic. Siemens at the time had an automation and control division. They did servicing all over the world in places where there were no service engineers. And they hired quite a few Irish engineers in that time. When I went over, there were 16 of us went. And we were all scattered around. We had to learn German first, so from scratch in 13 weeks learned how to speak German, and then was cast into learning all about the Siemens control equipment through German. And from there I ended up being sent to, I was in Germany, I was in Stuttgart for 3 months, I was in Mannheim for 3 months, they sent me to Italy, down to Milan for another 3 months. So it was an interesting...
And did you sort of graduated from engineering into more sales roles? How did that happen?
Well, I started actually. They promoted me to a job. I had to set up a joint venture partner, I was a service manager in Beijing, and they promoted me to actually set that thing up. I went over in early 1989, and I ran that for a year with a little break in the middle due to the issues on Tiananmen Square.
There for that.
I was. Oh, I was 26 and I was coming home from a party when the shooting started. So it was it was a hairy time. But then the sales organization kind of took me from my time in service, and they gave me, because I'd had experience in Asia, they took me on as sales manager for 10 Asian countries.
So then coming back, I suppose, with that experience, roles with Glendimplex, Ryan Hotels, you were building up your criteria and your experience along the way.
Absolutely. I kind of realised pretty early on that although I was an engineer, I never really wanted to be an R&D engineer, and I liked the business end more. So the job in Taiwan was a big sales job, set up an office over there, and then decided I needed more formal education. And my wife was with me at the time. It was not a very nice, well, not it was a fine place, but it was when I was travelling kind of 3-4 weeks in a month.
Yeah.
And she was sitting at home in Taichung, which is not exactly a metropolis. So she, after a year, she'd had enough and we decided to come home, and I put myself through an MBA, the first full-time MBA class through the Michael Smurfit School up in Carysfort. So that was actually a brilliant experience, and actually developed me from going forward. It was a great self-learning experience.
And was that, were you sort of catching your breath to decide maybe what you might do next, or did you do the MBA with a view to knowing that this would be just a good thing to do?
Well, I knew it was a good thing to do. I needed to actually develop my own skills. I knew I wanted to live in Ireland. And when I left the MBA, unemployment in Ireland was at 17%.
Yeah, so I remember those days.
It was a little bit hairy. I was lucky. I had some cash from my expat days. So my interest rate was 19%. So I wasn't paying a mortgage. So it's a little bit different now. But I just applied for a job. Like I actually picked a couple of people I would like to work for. One of them being Martin Nocton at Lendimplex, and Martin hired me. So that's where I started back in Ireland.
And I want to talk about Roganstown, but the bridge to Roganstown was via Microsoft. Sometimes when you go into organisations like that, you never come out. Tell us a little bit about your experience there. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Oh, Microsoft was a terrific place to work.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. And I progressed quite well. I started, because of my German, I was customer service manager for the Middle European countries, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and then progressed into looking after channel development for the whole of EMEA. We had 209 distributors in 61 countries, so putting together contracts, bringing on new distributors and all that kind of stuff. And then I ended up as a operations director for Europe, Middle East and Africa for the small and medium business. It was
great job.
A big job.
Yeah.
And while I was there, my mother was kind of itching to move out of Roganstown because it was a big old drafty house. My stepfather wanted to retire. I wasn't interested in farming. I worked with cows. Cows actually never calve on a nice summer evening. They always calve at 4 o'clock in the morning on a winter's night. So
absolutely.
So yeah. I knew that none of us wanted to do that. And we looked at it and we said, well, what should we do? And she had already built a very successful business at Swords Open Golf Course. She actually identified a niche in the market back in the early 90s where people couldn't actually play golf. They couldn't afford to join a golf club, or you couldn't get into a golf club. So she set up a pay and play golf club where people could actually join a club and play golf at a very reasonable price.
So it's interesting then that the product that's there today was golf-led. So
it was golf-led.
Came first and facilities came after.
Absolutely. We looked at, we still had 170, 180 acres left on the facility side from the Swords Golf Course. And we felt that we could develop something a little bit more around the house. And it started as something small, and through kind of mid-90s to 98, 99, we came up with a plan, and it was basically a resort with a more upmarket golf club to be run in parallel to the pay and play golf club. So basically something for everybody.
Yeah. And you didn't tell me how the decision came about to go back to Roganstown from the dream job in Microsoft. I'm just interested in that crossroads, because you were probably leaving something that was, very settled, had great prospects, to something quite, albeit family, and albeit was going to be your own, a much more risky proposition.
Yeah, I was actually the leader of the plan for putting Roganstown together. I got to Fingal County Council, I got a mark on the map so we could get the zoning done and all that stuff. And I put together a full team of kind of architects, engineers, QS, the whole shooting match to put the thing together. And I was project managing it on the side and doing design team meetings. So from 1999 through 2002, 2003, I was doing it in parallel.
Okay, so you had a foot in the door in terms of what was happening. It was
a gradual, and
yeah.
I think what actually brought it back to me, I've been appointed as I was lead on the Navision Great Plains aside from my normal job, lead on the Navision Great Plains takeover by Microsoft, and I was working 60 hours a week there. I was traveling all over the place. I was doing kind of calls with home from Seattle at all sorts of days and nights to run this thing. And then when I came home, I was doing 30 to 40 hours a week in Roganstown, and the project plan was slipping.
Yeah.
So I had to make a decision. So the decision was find somebody to run Roganstown and stay at Microsoft, or leave Microsoft and do Roganstown full time. So I gave 4 months notice and moved over.
You say you're a bit like Jeremy Clarkson in that you're always in dispute with the council. Because you're an engineer, because you're a guy who builds things, does the process around development frustrate you as somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur, to create new buildings, new concepts, new ideas?
It's a bit of an understatement, Bobby. I do have issues with the process. I see an end goal, and I figure out a way to get there. That's what I like doing. And there's always barriers put in your way. And I've been, you know, on and off fighting with the council for about nearly 30 years.
I can see the guy up in Fingal Central there, just a sharp intake of breath. Oh no, here comes another email in from me. And how long is this going to take us to deal with? Tell us about Rogan's Town in terms of how it's doing.
It's doing very well.
I know, you know, we've seen a lot of, I suppose, you know, geopolitical stuff affecting tourism, affecting. Do you have to have your finger in a number of markets? Is that the catalyst?
We are very, very well placed because we're in North County Dublin, about 5 miles from Dublin Airport, a couple of miles from Swords. We have a variety of things on offer. So we have two golf courses. So I've 1,000 golf members. I have a leisure centre of 1,200 leisure members.
Yeah.
And then the hotel is 52 bedrooms. So we have bars, restaurants, rooms. So we do quite a bit of tour groups during the summer. We do a lot of people coming down from, especially Northern Ireland, Scandinavia and the UK for small golf outings. So the business is kind of split. Normal, like, it's been carnage in the industry for the last few years with all the things that have been happening. So we've, you know, but what we have to do is continuously manage the cost base. And that's the biggest thing we have to do.
Like, yeah.
And things get out of your way. Like the Ukraine war killed us in terms of energy costs. So now we are almost self-sufficient. Like, we've got wood chip boilers, we've got solar panels, and all the money we've spent over the last couple of years.
Okay. Well, look, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. What an interesting journey that you've had. All those engineering jobs back to Rogan's Town and built a fine business. So that's Ian McGuinness, the CEO of Rogan's Town Hotel and Country Club. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.